Good morning, church. It's good to be back in Texas. I'm just saying. I've been in New York City for several days this past week, and I'm just glad I live here. I don't know. Yeah, had a really good conference up there, and I'll be talking a little bit more about that today and in weeks to come. But it was a good time, but I am so glad to be home. A few things. Last night, I don't know, they say that sometimes your dreams indicate something, but this is a real deal here. Last night I dreamed that I came to church and I got up to preach and I had nothing. I didn't have any notes. I wasn't prepared. There wasn't a Bible up there. It was nothing. It was just, and I just kind of panicked. And so, I asked the congregation, hang on just a minute, and I'm frantically trying to go to computers, getting computers and printers to hook up and work and print out my notes and stuff. I think it wasn't a dream, it was a nightmare. I'm just saying. So that happened last night, but I am glad I'm home. So, a couple of things. Pictures for the directory. I'm not going to shame anybody, but I'm close to shaming. Did you ever pastoral shame anybody, George? You never did? Really? Karen, you shamed her, she shamed you. Okay, never mind. Please get your picture made. We're not through. We've moved it from out in the foyer where it's over here in the cry room, which it'll be set up over there. The really cool thing, if you get your picture made and we get it in our directory, you can go to the app, the Wiley Methodist app. You can, down at the bottom of the app, it says church directory. You can click on that, and you can say, oh, that's that person's name. I was wanting to know what that person's name was. So if you don't have to be a member of the church, if you consider this your church, please get your picture made. At the end of the service, just kind of giving you all a heads up, we have two baptisms today. Yes, that's a blessing to have two baptisms, these young ladies. Got the water already. Mia already told Mia we got the water ice down for you. We're just good to go. So if you are a guest this morning, man, I hope you feel the Spirit of God in this place, and I hope that you feel the love of His people in this place. That's really important. Both of those things are very important to us. If you are a guest, there is a blue striped card in the pocket in front of you that says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out, and you don't have to do that, but we'd love for you to fill that out, and I'll be out at this end of the foyer after the church, and we'd love to meet you and have a free gift for our guests. So I'd love to meet you out there. We'll turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. It's a well-known verse probably to most of us, beginning in verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. I told the early service, I had a pastor friend of mine who said, my wife's in the Bible. And I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, what's her name? He said, Annette. That's a bad joke. That's true. That was his standing joke. But the different kind of net. They were casting a net into the lake, and they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We need you. We eagerly anticipate hearing from you. Would you speak in power and authority, transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't help myself. This really doesn't have anything to do with the message today, but as I look back, this passage of Scripture, the last time I preached on this was 2007. I wanted it to be memorable. I asked my beautiful bride if I could, would you be okay if I preached in fishing waders today? And some of y'all were here for that day. Go ahead and I went back and looked that up. That was 2007. Now, I should say there's a story behind that, but the short story is I borrowed those waders, and they were two sizes too small, and they were those stretchy kind. I thought they were going to be the baggy kind, but it was quite an event trying to get into those, I would say this. And when I walked in, I'll let Cheryl tell you how she responded to that. But anyway, at the end of the service, both of my daughters wanted to have their picture made with me, which we did. But guess what picture I didn't have? One with me and my wife. She didn't. She was totally wanting to be disassociated from that. Still wants to be disassociated from that. But people remember it. People remember it. Today's message, a little different. Today's message is new chapter, same message. You know, we're entering into a new season, a new chapter with our church. We're going to be affiliated with a denomination called Global Methodist Church. And I just want to say this. Do you know what's going to change? Nothing. Nothing. We're still going to be about the same thing we've always been about. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Same new chapter, same message. You know, how many of you have red oak trees at your house? Several of you. We planted, go ahead and show that picture, Paige. We planted that little red oak tree there on the left. That was 2012, picture in 2012. And Cheryl and I both love red oak trees. They're just so beautiful, and they provide beauty and shade and all that stuff. But and then go ahead and show that next one. This was this weekend. I took it this weekend. That's what happens in 10 years. And it's still, we're still enjoying that tree. And we actually have four red oaks in our, three more in our backyard. But the thing that is, and I got to say it, the thing that's really annoying about our red oak tree is these little things right here. You probably can't see that very well. I think most people call those acorns. It drops thousands and thousands of acorns. And we love those trees. And man, if I got out there with a chainsaw, I really think y'all'd be, I don't know. My wife would not put up with that. But these are annoying. They're just annoying. They drop, and if you don't pick them up, you step on them, you mash them into the ground, and here comes some, you know, instead of having 1,000 acorns, you got 1,000 new oak trees. Very annoying. More on that later. But I wanted to kind of set the stage there. So as we look at this passage today, this passage out of Matthew, I believe that the gospel is tied up just in this call to these disciples. It's tied up right there. So let's look at it. First thing is, we are called by Jesus. We are called by Jesus. A funny story, the early service, some of y'all know Phil Boone, one of the principals at one of the Wiley schools. I preached on this, and he said that he was at a kids camp, a youth camp years ago, and two of the sponsors out in this little John boat kind of thing, and they were fishing in this pond, and he was up on the bank with all the youth, and they read this scripture, and they were waving, come in, they were waiting, so they were trying to illustrate, you know, what it might have looked like, and one of the fishermen got a little carried away, and the boat flipped, and then they went into the water. I love that story. So anyway, but Jesus is saying, come, follow me. He's offering us an invitation. You know, Jesus doesn't kick our door in and say, I'm coming in. I'm going to be your Lord and Savior, whether you like it or not. No, he gives us an invitation. He gives us an invitation. Revelations 3 says it this way. Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. So there's the invitation. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. So God is not this God that demands that we worship him. He invites us into relationship. He invites us into worship, into that relationship. He says, if he hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. So we're invited with Jesus, but we must respond. Did you know that one of the responses is no? Did you know that? That's an option. And some people take Jesus up on that, when they get that invitation, their answer is, no, thank you. And that's, we need to pray for those folks that reject that. But Jesus, we are called. Come follow me, Jesus says. Come follow me. It leads me to the second point. After that invitation, we're not only called by Jesus, we're transformed by Jesus. He's calling us into a relationship, a transformational relationship. When he invites us in, he says, come follow me and I will make you. There's something there in that the wording of that. I will make you. I will make you new creation. I will mold you. I will sanctify you, purify you. If anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians says, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. If we accept his invitation, it's not just an invitation. And I believe that's one of the issues going on, not just the Methodist church, but with the church. It's like, we don't like that. When we want to, there's certain things we want to keep. You know, it's like, Lord, I'll let you, and I've said this before, and this is not on stewardship, but sometimes people's like, Lord, you can have everything, but not this. I mean, you know, or you can have everything, but not when I'm on the computer. When I'm on the computer, that I'm going to set that aside. Or you can have everything, but my family, my marriage. You can have everything, Lord, except that we want to have this condition. No, Jesus says, come to me, and I will make, I will transform, I will sanctify you. He's making us more and more in his own image. That's exciting to me. You know that we don't have to fear that, because when what God wants to do in us, we should embrace, because it's always good. It's always good. He never wants bad things for us. If we accept his invitation, he wants to change us. So it leads me to where I want to spend a little more time. Third point. So he calls us. He wants to transform us. And now we have a message to share. Did you know that the gospel is not just for us? Think about the disciples, the first disciples. What if they had said, you know, Jesus died for me. That's an incredible thing, man. It's like, okay. And that message died with them? No, it wants it to go on. Jesus said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, it's for other people. It's for other people. At once, it says, they left their nets and followed him. The Great Commission, go and make disciples, Jesus says, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. So this conference that I was at, it took me, it stretched me in disciple making, which is a good thing. It stretched me. One of the things that we really emphasized last week was we're not just called to make disciples. We're called to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. And it brings me back to this oak tree, these little acorns. What I can sometimes see as a real nuisance is life. That's life. Because every acorn that falls, if it's brought into the right soil and it's given the right conditions, that acorn produces another tree. And that tree produces more acorns, which produces more trees, which produces more acorns, which produces more trees. That's why those of us who have red oaks have red oaks. That's why those of us who know Jesus. Because somewhere along the line, disciples were made not only just to be disciples, but to make disciples. That is the call upon our life, a disciple maker that makes disciples. And I'm going to be learning more about really kind of the logistics of how do we do that, Lord? And I now see the beauty of these pesky little acorns. Cheryl and I try to pick up the acorns, and we've got this razzle-dazzle little machine that Cheryl has been using that you push along like a push mower, and it throws these acorns up into a little compartment. That's good. That's a good thing, man. I like that. But so we try to pick up our acorns because we don't want 1,000 acorn trees in the front yard. But we see some other houses in our neighborhood where they don't pick up their acorns and they get mashed down, and they've got 1,000 little sprouty oak trees in their yard, and they mow over them with their grass, you know, keep them mowed down. But these have taken root. So I want to talk just a second about that. These things, this one right here, by the way, I was telling the early service, I didn't realize this, but worms like these things too. Did you know that? And I sorted all these acorns out. You're going to see why here in just a little bit. Last night. And this one seems like something's kind of gotten, it's a little, I can see it rattling, so it's kind of not as solid as it once was. But if the worms have gotten them, they're no good. We're fixing to talk about that and apply that to our scripture today. But in the early service, I told them, as I was sorting through the acorns this morning, getting them ready for what we're going to do in just a minute, I found two little worms on the table, and I disposed of those two little worms. Well, after the service, one, I won't mention who, but someone on our praise team that got an acorn said they had a worm in their acorn, and it was on the floor in front of them. So you might want to watch for the worms. But listen, as we talk about how a worm can destroy the fruitfulness of this acorn, I'm drawn to 2 Timothy 3. Paul is coming to the end of his life, and he's speaking to Timothy, who he has mentored, and he says this: "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last day. People will," and he gives this list. I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's in your handout there. But see if this doesn't sound a little bit like what we're going through today. "People will be lovers of money, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." I see that as I think about how this relates to the acorn. It's like, I don't think this acorn, if I planted this one, I don't think there's going to be any fruit come from this. The worm's gotten to it. We can't let the worm get to us. We want good fruit. Goes on to say, have nothing to do with them. And I would say, in addition to have nothing to do with them, I would say, and this is my addition, don't be them. It's easy to say, oh yeah, all these other people, it's like, or they fall victim to all this stuff, but for us, Don't be a lover of ourselves. Don't be a lover of money. Don't be boastful. Don't be proud, and so on and so forth. When Jesus was coming to the end of his life, John chapter 12, he said, again, using the fruit analogy, he said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And so the way that when the fruit, when the nut or whatever, when it falls to the ground and goes into the ground, there's a death to that, and it splits open, and new life comes from that. That's the way it works. And Jesus is basically teaching us we must die to self to produce life. And if there's not a better example of that, I don't know what it is, than this meal right here. What Jesus did for us. By his death, he has produced and given us life. That's a precious gift, church. By his body being broken, he has given us new life. And by his shed blood, we have new life. Come to this meal today. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing in just a moment over these elements. We come today not as a perfect people, but as a redeemed people. This is I say it so many times, but this is a sacred and special, precious, it's a word I use when I describe this table. This is a precious meal. It's not to be taken lightly. It cost us the body and blood, the very life of our Savior Jesus Christ, so that we could have new life. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. We are the seeds of Jesus. If you'll just pray with me. Father, thank you for this bread, for this cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus. This precious meal that you have provided for us. I invite each one of you now in your own heart to pray your own personal prayer of confession. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, church. Amen. So the invitation to this table comes from Christ. It's not my invitation. It's not our church's invitation. It comes from Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've confessed Him as your Lord and Savior, and you repent of your sins, you're welcome to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You also are not forced to come and partake. If you don't wish to partake of the meal, that's your right as well. So in just a moment, we'll call the servers up. And I'll explain a little bit more about what we're going to do after I get them served. Okay, if the servers will come forward. So the acorn is symbolic today, using it to illustrate how we come and die to self through Christ, and how through that we are to be disciple makers that make disciples that make disciples. This is something that hopefully will remind us of that. As you come forward and as you are served in the communion line, there's a basket here, there's a basket over there, and there's the same over on the other side. I invite you to come and take an acorn with you. You can do with it whatever you want, but as a reminder and a symbol that we are disciple makers, and God wants us to be fruitful in that. There will be two stations here. You'll be given a piece of bread. You'll be dipping it into the cup, and you'll partake in that manner. In the center, these two the same way. The center aisle has the individual elements if you would like to be served. In that way, come to the center. Come. We're going to baptize Ella Beatty here. Youth, friends, family, whoever wants to come up. Come on in, Ella. Watch your step. It gets slippery on there. Okay, if you'll just stay right there while everybody gathers. No, no, come, y'all come all the way up. Oh, come on up, family. Look at all those shy friends you have out there. Yes, it is. Yeah, come on up. Y'all aren't, we've got cameras all over the place, so they're going to be able to see out there. All right. If only you had a couple of people that loved you, Ella. What's the deal?
Is everybody up here?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Ella, we talked about these questions that I would ask you. So, first of all, I ask you, do you confess that you are a sinner?
Yes.
And do you want Jesus to forgive you of that sin? You want him to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart.
Yes.
Amen. You want to be baptized this morning?
Yes.
All right, we can do that. If you'll sit right there and hold your nose. Ella, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, yes. Stay right there. We also prayed, or we also talked about that I would invite the Holy Spirit. He, and actually he's the one that you have invited him in. He wants to come and live inside of you. So I want to pray that prayer, okay? If y'all can grab a shoulder or hand or head or something, put a hand on it, whoever's in front of you, or if you can't reach her. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you what he has done for Ella and done for all of us. Thank you that she has said yes to you, as we talked about today. You invited her and she has responded with, yes, Lord, I want you. So would you fill her with your Holy Spirit? Would this be a brand new day, God, a brand new moment? Would you, we drive a stake in the ground and we say, from this day forward, I am a new creation. So, Father, would you do that in Ella and fill her with your Holy Spirit? Bless this family. I pray for her father, God, who's going through some medical stuff. I pray in the name of Jesus. Healing on him and encouragement and blessing on him as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Ruster family, friends, you look like you got some peeps back there. Are these friends from school? Are they? Awesome. I'm glad they got to come. I'm glad you girls got to come, yeah. Huh? Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Awesome, awesome. Well, Mia, the same thing, we had conversation. You've been wanting to do this for a long time, haven't you? COVID kind of got in the way, didn't it? Well, we're glad that you have, we've come to this moment. So I'm going to ask you the questions we talked about. So that word sin, we're all sinners. Do you confess to God that you are a sinner?
Yes.
And you want him to forgive you of your sin? And you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart. Amen. You want to be baptized today? Let's do it. You'll sit right there and grab your nose. May I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Stay right there. Hey, my elbow's saved now too, so just in case. All right, same thing. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and be inside of you. I think he's already been there waiting, but this is his official invitation. So let's pray. Can you guys gather up there, dads, moms, everybody can grab a shoulders. There we go. Father, thank you again for Jesus. Thank you for Mia, God. I thank you for the eagerness and the excitement that she has to be baptized and to be a believer in you, Jesus. So would you fill her with your Holy Spirit? Would you bless her and anoint her with power, God, from on high? Would you bless this family and these friends? God, I thank you for this family and these good friends that came to be celebrating this day with her. God, we love you. We praise you and bless our friend Mia in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. She's all wet. Okay. Church, if you'll rise for the benediction, and I think Carlene likes for me to tell y'all that your kids are up front, but if she doesn't, if you don't pick them up, she is going to take them home for the day. Just a joke. Please come pick your children up. She'll pass them off at my house, I know. Kids, you guys want to stand up so that I can dismiss us? Awesome. All right. Church, go and be disciple makers that make disciples. Go and be fruitful. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.